Chapter 25. Sunday night, Marco drank gin with his head resting across Eugenie Rose's ample lap, and listened to the zeitgeist of zither music until the gin had softened the rims of his memory. He looked straight up, right through the ceiling, his face an Aztec mask. Rosie had not spoken because she had too much to ask him, and he did not speak for a long time because he had too much to tell her. He pulled some sheets of white paper from the breast pocket of his jacket, which had been hung across the back of the chair beside them.
"I grabbed this from the files this afternoon," he said. "It's a verbatim report." Fella took it down on tape in the Argentine. "Read it to me, huh?"
Rosie took the paper and read aloud. What follows is a transcribed conversation between Mrs. Seward Arnold and Agent Graham Dundee, as transcribed by Carmelita Barajas and witnessed by Dolores Fregg on February 16, 1959. Rosie looked for a moment as though she would ask a question, then seemed to think better of it. She continued to read from the paper, while Marco stared from her lap at far away. She read slowly and softly. "Dundee. Mrs. Arnold, if I may say so, this is the most unusual assignment of my career. I've been awake half the night studying how I could try to explain what I've been sent here to ask you. Mrs. Arnold, sent by whom, Mr. Dundee?" "Dundee, I don't know. If I did know, I should probably have been instructed not to reveal that. I am a physician, a psychiatrist. I'm attached to the Federal Bureau of Investigation of the Department of Justice of the Government of the United States in that capacity. Here are my credentials. Mrs. Arnold, I see, thank you, but..." "Dundee, I've been flown from New York for this chat with you, and when we have finished, I shall take the first plane back to New York. It is a terrible journey when one makes it that way. Some 13,000 miles of catered food and the wrong people in the seat beside one. Talkers, mostly." "Mrs. Arnold, it sounds terribly important." "Dundee, you may be sure of that." "Mrs. Arnold, but how can I help you? I'm not important, thank heaven. Does this involve my father?" "Dundee, no, Mrs. Arnold. It involves a man named Raymond Shaw." Transcriber and witness, timed interval, silence of 11 seconds here. "Dundee, do you remember Raymond Shaw?" "Mrs. Arnold, yes." "Dundee, will you tell me what you remember about him, Mrs. Arnold?" "Mrs. Arnold, but why?" "Dundee, I don't know. There is so much we must do on faith alone. I only know that I must ask you these questions and pray that you will decide to answer. As a psychiatrist, I have been assigned to work on and collect data concerning the character and personality and habits and reactions and inhibitions and repressions and idiosyncrasies and compulsions of Raymond Shaw for 14 months, Mrs. Arnold. I have not been told why. I only know that it is desperately important work." "Mrs. Arnold, it has been 7 years since I have seen or spoken to Raymond Shaw, Dr. Dundee." "Dundee, thank you." "Mrs. Arnold, I was only a girl. I mean to say, I did not consciously store up information about him. I mean, to get me started, perhaps you would tell me what you know about Raymond Shaw." "Dundee, what I know? Mrs. Arnold, I know more about him than he knows about himself. But I would not be permitted to tell him, much less you, because Raymond Shaw is classified information. His recreations and habits are top secret, and his thoughts and dreams are top secret. Will you tell me about him?" "Mrs. Arnold, Raymond was 21 or 22 years old when I first saw him. I thought, and I still think, he was the handsomest man I have ever seen in life, or in a photograph, or in a painting. His eyes had such regret for the world. They seemed to deplore that the world had taken him upon it, and had then made him invisible." "Dundee, did you say invisible, Mrs. Arnold?" "Mrs. Arnold, that was his own description of himself, but I never knew anyone who ever saw Raymond. My own father, who is a sensitive, interested man, was not able to see him. My father saw a neurotic, slender giant of a child who seemed to pout and who stared rudely at every movement the way cats do. Surely Raymond's mother never saw him. I'm not even sure that his mother ever looked at him." "Dundee, still his mother manufactured Raymond." "Mrs. Arnold, the cold unfriendliness of him, the resentful retreater, the hurt and defiant retreater, who wept stone tears behind a shield of arrogance." "Dundee, But he was not invisible to you?
Mrs. Arnold, no. He allowed me to see him.
He was very shy. He had so much tenderness. He was nearly pathetic with his need to please, once he had been allowed to understand that it was wanted for him to be pleasing. He was so sparing with his warm thoughts, except with me. His loving and unresentful thoughts. He doled them out through that eyedropper, which was his fear and shyness. Then he grew until he could give spoonfuls of it, until at last, when he knew that I loved him, he could have learned to give and partake of feeling and warmth and love, the way the gods do.
Dundee. Mrs. Arnold, I won't pretend to try to be casual about this. What I must ask you is tremendously important and has a direct bearing upon essential psychiatric evidence. You must be sure of that, or I would never, never, never presume to ask you such an extraordinary question. But you see,
Mrs. Arnold, did Raymond ever possess me? Did we ever sleep together? Is that the question, Doctor?
Dundee. Yes, thank you. That is it, Mrs. Arnold, if you please.
Mrs. Arnold, I wish he had, that we had.
I wish he had, and if he had, I could not have told you.
But he did not, so I can.
Raymond never, we never.
Raymond and I never so much as kissed, Dr. Dundee.
Marco reached up and took the transcript gently out of Rosie's hands. He folded it and slid it back into the pocket of his jacket.
"Who was Mrs. Arnold?" Rosie asked.
"That was Josie. Raymond's girl."
"His wife?"
"Yeah."
He got to his feet laboriously. He could not have made it straight up into an erect position. He had to roll off her lap and the sofa to his hands and knees, then get to his feet holding onto a chair. He took the empty gin bottle to the kitchen, lurching slightly, and stored it neatly in a wastebasket. He got another bottle. On the way back to Rosie, he picked up the newspaper he had brought in with him at 6 o'clock and which had lain rolled up on a table near the door. He dropped the newspaper into her lap, then sat down beside her.
"Raymond shot and killed his wife this morning," he said.
She tried to read the paper and watch Marco at the same time. She drew astonishment from the paper and horror from the sight of Marco because he looked so ravaged. He drank a few fingers of warm gin while she read the story. When she had finished it, she said,
"The paper doesn't say that Raymond killed his wife."
Marco didn't answer. He drank and thought and listened through one more side of zither music. Then he fell forward on his face to the horrendous pink cabbage roses in the French blue rug. She held him and kissed him. Then she dragged him by his feet into the bedroom, undressed him, and rolled him up across the bed in several stages.